Chapter number 2 in the book of Acts, beginning with verse number 41. Stand with us, if you would, and we'll honor the Bible. The Bible said, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Our Father, we bow in your divine presence this morning again. We come before you as humble as we know how, thanking you, dear Lord, for every blessing. Thank you, Lord, for your love, for your mercy. Thank you for the privilege that we have to come into your house one more time. Thank you, Lord, for these that are bowed with us. Father, you know the need of the hour. And I pray, Lord, that you'd grant it today. Lord, again, we pray that you'd anoint us afresh with fresh oil. Lord, give us strength physically and spiritually, Lord, to preach your word. Lord, I pray that your word go out and prick the hearts and the lives of every man, woman, boy, and girl in this building. We ask you, dear Father, to have your way with us. Let us leave here different. Let us leave here better than we were when we came. We ask you now, Lord, to do a work in us that we cannot do ourselves. And Lord, we'll give you praise and glory for all that's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to talk to us tonight, this morning, if the Lord will help me, for a few minutes. I want to preach about the church for just a little while, if the Lord will help us. I want to talk to us about the church. Now, the church has always been in the heart of God. From the beginning, before this world was ever formed, the church has always been in the heart of God. We saw in the Old Testament, you'd find various thoughts about the church, even in the Old Testament ways. And even in the worship, you'd find the collective worship in the Old Testament days. And they were known as the church in the wilderness. It was mentioned in one place. And we know this morning that the church has been here and is here today. And the church is an identity of God. Amen. Man did not make the church, but God made the church. Amen. And the Bible said that the Lord Jesus died for the church. The Bible said he loved it so much that he gave himself for it. The Lord Jesus told Peter, he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Amen. So the church was always in the bosom of the Father and loved by the Son. But the church has always been directed by the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us in chapter number 1, when the church was gathering there in the upper room together in one mind and one accord, that the Holy Ghost came down upon every one of them and set upon them like cloven tongues. And they began with power to preach the Lord Jesus. The church doesn't have diverse messages. It's not compelled to preach issues of the day nor of the news of the hour. But it's here to proclaim the message that Jesus Christ came and died for sin, and that he was raised from the dead, and he went back to the Father and seated at the right hand of God for the interceding of those that would come to God. That's the function of the church. That's the very purpose of the church this morning, is to the declaring of the Word of God, the Holy Ghost being the guide of the church, and us being led by the Spirit of God. We believe that such are led by the Spirit of God. Those that are in the church, the Bible tells us that the church is made up of baptized believers. We read that to you. The Bible said, and they were being baptized, and there were 3,000 souls that were added that day. And the Bible tells us in verse 47 that the Lord added others to the church daily, such as should be saved. I believe the criteria of a church member is that they've got to be saved first. They must be born again first. Amen. And then after they're saved, then they're commanded and commissioned to be baptized by the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And by the commandment of God our Heavenly Father, made up of baptized believers. Amen. And so we're gathered together here today, the church of the living God. Now the church is not only the church here at Antioch, but it's scattered throughout all the world today. Amen. And the church, the Lord doesn't have but one church. Amen. He doesn't have multiple identities. We like to say that there are so many denominations until we don't know which one's right. Well, I do, according to the Word of God. Amen. If you've been born again, identified through baptism with the church, amen, you're the body of Christ. Hallelujah. I believe that today. If I didn't, I'd do something else. But I'm firmly and confirmed in Scripture that I'm a part of the church, and so are you this morning. If you've been saved by the grace of God and you've been baptized into the body, amen, you're a part of the church this morning. You don't find in the Bible here where it talks about denomination. I'm glad, thank God, that I got saved before I become a Baptist. Amen. And so now I'm a part of the church. Amen. So now we find in chapter number 2 of the establishment of this New Testament church, this body that's gathered together. Now, I said it's always been here, but it's come to its fruition here in chapter number 1 and chapter number 2. And it functions today with a great purpose, even in our day-to-day. The Bible said in the last days there'll be a great falling away of the church. There'll be a great falling away of the church. I want to tell you, I used to think that it was because that the world is falling away from it. That's not it. But there are many folks, amen, that are a part of the church that has fallen away by the wayside. I want to say to you this morning, the church is still going onward. And the church can do without me, but I can't do without the church. Amen. I need you. Amen. And I pray that we can be a help together, fellow laborers together with Christ. Let me say a few words about the church today. When we gather together, there ought to be a preparation. Amen. The church ought to be prepared when it meets together. You cannot frolic out in the world 6 days a week and expect to be prepared to come together and worship with God on Sunday. If this is the only time that you think about the body, we're in trouble this morning. Amen. The church ought to have a preparation. The Bible said every day they met together and they studied in the apostles' doctrine. They were prepared when they met together. I want to tell you this morning, there's preparations that needs to be made before we come to church on Sunday. There ought to be some praying time take place. Amen. Before a church time on Sunday, there ought to be some Bible reading that takes place before we come to the house of God on Sunday. Amen. There ought to be some testifying, some witnessing going on before we gather on church on Sunday. I believe we ought to be prepared when we come to the house of God. These folks gathered in preparation to come to worship the Lord. I hope the church is not just a forethought. I hope it's not a forethought of our lives. But I pray that it's part and the major part of our life. We're bought with a price.
We're purchased by the blood of Jesus. He paid for us. With his own life, he died for our sins. And we were forgiven of our sins. And the Spirit of the Lord came in. This is precious to the Lord. And to take this a precious gift that God's given us and strew it among the swine and cast our pearls out yonder in the world. I tell you, it's a deceitfulness, and it's a pity that the church today has one foot in the world and one foot in the church. That'll be some preparations made before we come to the house of God. I believe these folks, I believe they had it at heart. Amen. I want to say this morning. And I don't want you to get mad at me. And it really don't matter if you do get mad at me. I had somebody tell me not long ago. Said, I ain't coming to your church. Said, you believe in so and so and so and so. And I'm not coming there. Well, just don't come. I ain't going to change to get you to come. Amen. I'm going to say today, and I want to say this morning with all of the love that God had given me. We as a church, as a whole, not just Antioch, but as a whole, we frolic too much in the world. Amen. We have hooked up and held hands with the world. I've never seen, did you know one of the things why Rome fell, that great nation of Rome fell? Do you know what one of the reasons it fell was? It was because they were sports crazy. Now don't get mad at me. They were sports crazy. They put more money, they put more emphasis in running races and playing out on the ball fields. And they did. We have raised a generation of church people that have been raised out on the ball fields. Now, don't misunderstand me. There ain't nothing wrong with playing ball in its rightful place. But when ball becomes our God and we neglect the house of God and the church of the living God that we're part of, then it becomes wrong. You go ahead and play ball. It's okay. But I tell you, don't put it before the Lord. I was a hip in a church in Jasper, Alabama. They had called me to come, and they had over 1,000 members. This old country boy went to the city for several months, and there's over 1,000 members. And they called me to ask if I'd come and fill in for them for a pastor until they get a pastor. And I said, I'd be glad to. I was in between churches. And I went there. And when I walked in, I walked into the gym. I thought it was a church. I walked into the gym. There's 4 basketball goals. And I walked in there and looked around. I thought, And the next thing I know, they're coming in for Sunday school and dribbling basketballs all over the place on Sunday morning. There's a place for that. Amen. But the house of God is not that place. Amen. And don't you get mad at me. I'm going to preach it anyhow. Amen. If you decide to build a gym and put basketball goals in that gym here, I'm gone. I'm just not going to do it. Amen. Now, let me say it again. Nothing wrong with playing sports if it's in its right place. But don't put it before God. That church, I couldn't even hardly finish the service quick enough until they started announcing upward basketball. Upward, what does that mean? Upward baseball, upward basketball, and gathering them in to play ball, and then gather them on Sunday, and then camp a group over yonder. You know what's on the minds of those children? It's all about ball playing. I'm going to tell you, I'm not against ball playing, but I am when it begins to be part of the church. There ain't much preparation going on. We out yonder on the ball field. And if it's taking up too much of our praying time and too much of our Bible study time, then you need to quit it. Or at least you need to slow down with it. Amen. and put things in its rightful place. I believe that with all of my heart. My boys come up to me, and the coaches did, and they wanted, I'm saying this because I want to help you just a little bit. They come to me and said, we want your boys to play football. Then they wanted to play baseball. Then they want to play basketball. If I'd have had girls, they'd have wanted them to play basketball and softball and cheerleading. I want to tell you, they can sucker your children right into all that time in their life that'll be gone before you know it, and their whole life is spent on the ball field. And the next thing you know, mamas and daddies will get out of church, and when I was a pastor in Mississippi, they had a group of joining some kind. I reckon they thought their boys were some kind of fantastic baseball players. And so they pulled them out of church, and they left the church, and they traveled. They called it traveling ball. And they traveled all over the place on Sunday playing ball. I'm going to tell you, we've gotten too much sports-minded and not enough God-minded. Can you imagine where they'd have went if they'd have been out on the ball field all the time? There'd have been no preparation made for the worship service. There'd have been not enough praying. There'd have been no Bible reading or the family devotions over at the house and teaching young'uns. I'm going to tell you, the percentage of your child ever being a professional ball player is very slim. Amen. Why would we want to pull them out of the church and put them on a ball field? Now, I said that for the preparation. These folks got prepared for the worship service. I told my boys, I said, you can play one sport, and that's it. Me and mama ain't running all over the country out on the ball field. We got too much other things to do besides running after you and playing ball. Say amen, mamas and daddies. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. I tell you, it's there. It's everywhere. It's in every church. It's what we talk about. It's everything about the church, because there's not much preparation made for the worship service. But then if there ain't no preparation made, there's going to be no participation made. Nobody's going to participate in the things of the church. This is holy ground. This is God's church. God's church. Our Creator, the one who gave His Son on our behalf. I can understand lost people getting engulfed in the things of the world. I can understand that. Matter of fact, that's what they're supposed to be doing. They're lost. They're going to participate in all of that. But for the church to be pulled into that, I've had them tell me. I had a mother get fierce mad at me one time in the church, and she come up to me and she said, Brother McClendon, said, I'll tell you right now. She said, you're wrong. I said, what are you talking about? She said, my boys are going to play ball, whether you like it or not. They're going to play ball. And she said, furthermore, I don't see nothing wrong with it. Said, we've committed to be out on that ball field, and we're going to be on that ball field. I said, ma'am, I said, did you make a commitment to the Lord? She said, yeah. I said, he saved me. I said, are you part of the church? And she said, yeah. I said, you committed to the church that you'd meet together, that you'd come together to the church house. I said, that was your first commitment, was over at the house of God. And I said, now what's happened? I said, you have forsaken your first commitment, amen, and pulled you and your family out of church and followed after the ball field. She said, well, it ain't none of your business. Well, let me tell you something. God made it my business. I wished it wasn't my business. I wished I could tell you that your life would be so much better out yonder on the ball field than it would be in here. But I'd be lying to you. I'd be lying to your children and to you. But it won't be better. In here's better. It's better. Amen. Serving the Lord and participating in the church business and the church work and the church serving. Serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I can't go because I'm going to church tonight. Amen. I told Coach over at the ball field, my boys loved football. They were good. They were little boys, but they were strappy boys. They'd hit you, and they just didn't care. I don't know what's the matter with them. They just hit you, and they loved it. I thought, Lord, boys, y'all heads harder than mine, and they loved it. I went up there to the coach, and I said, Coach, I said, now I won't be back up here no more. This is the only time I'll be here. I said, we have church on Wednesday night. I want my boys at church on Wednesday night. And when we have revival, I don't care what's going on at the ball field. My boys are going to be in revival meeting when our church is in revival. I said, now, are we clear? He said, yes, sir. He said, we're clear. I said, I don't even care if they play in a football game. I said, they can be on the sidelines, and it'll be okay with me. I said, they want to play? I said, they don't have to be first string. They don't have to be second string. I said, fact of the matter is, I don't care if they're on a string. I said, just I want them to be at church when the time comes for them to be at church. Now, I'm telling you this to help you now. For some reason, we feel like our little baby's got to play first string, and they ain't going to get to play if the coach, if they're not going to be at the ball field. That's not so. I'm here to tell you the devil is a liar. Both of my boys started out on first string on football, and they were at church every Wednesday when it come church time. The coach said, McClellan boys, it's time for y'all to go. All you other boys stay here. You're going to run. Wow. McClellan boys hit the locker room. They got to go home, got to be at church. Well, some of them other little boys got to catching on. And they got to saying, Coach, we go to church too. They got to catching on. And then the coach started realizing that maybe it's what we need to do is shut it off at church time on Wednesday and let them go to church during revival time. I told them, I said, there'll be no ball playing on Friday nights. I don't care if you win, lose, or draw. Not with my boys. We ain't playing. I'm going to tell you, we've quit participating in the church, and we've put all our energy out yonder in the world. In the world. We can't hardly get folks to come to Sunday school around here. We've been running in the 40s and the 50s so long until I'm a thinking, what have I done? Can we get up? Can we go to bed on Saturday night in hopes of participating on Sunday morning? I'm not fussing at you. I'm trying to help you. I'm telling you, when you participate too much out yonder, there's not enough participation going on in here. And when there's no participation going on in here, then the Lord's going to say, what's wrong with the church today? Too much world and not enough worship. Lastly, the church persevered. They stayed with it. They stayed with it. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's a little difficult in our day. We have so much attacking us on every side. Until it's easier now, seem like that if we feel like it, then we'll come to church. If we don't feel like it, then we just won't come to church. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. They persevered through the tough times, through the good times, through the persecution. Let me tell you what Jesus told them prior to this. He looked at the church in the face and he said, this is the way it's going to be. He said, they're going to throw you out of the synagogue. What he told them. He said, they're going to throw you out of the synagogue. There's coming a day where when you go up to the temple, up to the synagogue, when you go up there, they're going to recognize that you're not part of them anymore, and they don't want you in that synagogue no more, and they're going to throw you out of the synagogue. And he said, and that's not all. He said, they're going to kill you. He said, they're going to send people after you and they're going to kill you. Do you remember what Paul was doing when he got saved on the road to Damascus with papers in his pocket? You know what he was doing? He was going to haul them out that were found in this way, and he was going to haul them off, put some of them in jail, and then cause some of them to be put to death. That's what he was doing. That's what Jesus was telling them was going to happen. But you know what they done? They persevered. They didn't care. They didn't care what they was going to do to them. That was the church. They loved the Lord. They were his body. They were his body. They persevered. I'll be honest with you. In my own life, and I'm sure you'll identify with it, there have been times in the church that I'd love to got out. I'd have said to myself, it just ain't worth it anymore. I got into some church trouble one time over building a building. You had some of them, you had about 30 of them as 250 people. You had 30 of them that didn't want to build a new building, but you had the 120 that wanted to, or 220 that wanted to build a new building. And the 30, I mean, they caused more trouble. I had to call them down. Sometimes they'd get up in the congregation and go to fussing about blueprints, and I'd have to stand up and call them down because there's no place for that in the worship service. I have to stand up and say, now you need to sit down. We've already handled that in conference, and sit down. You're sowing discord among the brethren. Yeah. If you need to talk about it, we'll talk about it after church, but not here. Bless you. Know what I wanted to do? The same thing you would have wanted to do. I wanted to go on home and say, if this is the way church folks act, I don't want no part of it. But God, I was sitting on the front bench, and there was a young lady in the back that sat behind me, and she poked me on the shoulders. I was fixing to leave. I was fixing to say, you can have it. I was fixing to get up there and tell the church, I'm gone. And I was going home to my home church, and I probably wouldn't pastor no more. But there was a little girl, young girl, pecked me on the shoulder, and she said, Brother William, she said, I want to join the church today and be baptized. Then the Lord said, don't you hurt that little girl.
Yeah, right.
I said, okay. I never said a word about wanting to run. I got up behind the pulpit, preached, and opened the doors, and that little old girl joined the church. And I went home and cried and asked God to forgive me, that we'd persevere and we'd stay with the church. Stay with the church. I want to say to you this morning, I know sometimes the devil calls you to want to run. The world will pull you out. But persevere, because you're the church. You're the people of God. The blood bought. The born again, the people of God, the church of the living God. You're it. You're it. You are it. Persevere in it. Stay with it. Stay with it. Participate in it. Prepare in it. Praising God. The Bible said, tell what they said there. Praising God. Praising the Lord and worshiping Him. Church, we don't have much longer to go. We don't have much longer to go. And Jesus is coming back after. After what? Say it again. What is He coming back after? Coming back after the church. Who is the church? Say me. Me. Who's the church? Me. We are the church. He's coming back after you and me. That's how important we are And that's how important this is to God. Let's stand.